thank you for many of you who helped make this day happen. I wrote some of those down, so here's what I'll share. From putting up poles, to making cabinets, to straightening classrooms, to putting in countertops, to setting up chairs, to helping with the move, to sweeping, to tile work, to putting in a mailbox, to vacuuming, to mopping, and mopping, and mopping again, to washing windows, to cleaning toys, to setting up computer stuff, to electrical or sound equipment, to kitchen organization, to decorating, to hanging pictures or signs, tearing down boxes, organizing the library, to sweeping, to mopping, to meeting about lights or landscape or being a part of whatever, thank you for your help. There are many of you who have gotten on your hands and knees and you have helped in a number of ways. Thank you for doing that. And some of you haven't been here as so much in your labor, but you've given to the building. Thank you. Thank you for giving to the building. We still need to pay this building. And so we need to pay. And so thank you for being willing to do that. But I do want to do this. I want to share from God's word this morning because I believe there's an interesting part of where we're at. And so I hope you'll go with me. There, several years ago, on December 31, 2012, there was ink that was signed declaring that we had purchased this property. Now, several of you have given some money and we were able to buy the land without any debt. I was very thankful for that, as well as you. Then we continued to plan for, and we got an architect and got a builder, and this building came into fruition. There's one of you that says, I've heard at least one of you say, I don't know how people just dream these things up, and then all of a sudden, it just comes to be. And almost, it's not all of a sudden, but it's just amazing how this just comes to be, and it has come to be. On June 30, 2013, some of you were here, and we had our first service outside here on the grounds. Hey, there's a picture. Some of you are in that picture. And now we are here. I want to share something else. In probably May of 2016 or so, and you can take that down for a moment, but I don't need that up quite yet. Oh, actually, no, that's fine. So, yeah, go back. Picture of our new building. I think there's a picture, there's the stage the first time, and I think there's another picture of the land. Just there. Hopefully none of you have still been sad about those three trees. If you are still sad about those three trees, buy a tree today. Put a check in the offering and say, here, I'll buy a tree to put right over here. The wind's going to blow out here, by the way, and so we need some trees put up. And this is what it looks like right now. Interesting how that all happens. And you can put those away now, Bennett. In probably May of 2016, 13 months ago or so, I set out to prepare a sketch where I felt like God should be moving us and what I should be preaching on. And I determined that Hebrews would be a very good book to preach through. And I mapped out what would be shared from May, from when we started, which actually I think was in September of 2016, all the way through December of 2017. And as I was looking through that, I was thinking, oh, Hebrews chapter 11 would be a great place to camp for a while, and let's have Hebrews chapter 11 be in the summer of 2017. And so on that day, I was probably up at the campground, I was thinking about it, and I thought, where should we be? Now, I will tell you this. The original plan was that we were going to be in this building mid-May. It's way past mid-May, and due to some cold and some other things, we're here today. And I just think it's neat how God has put this together. I believe this is God putting this together because we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Now, again, I didn't set this up 13 months ago. I said this is the message we're going to do, and then this is where we find ourselves. I encourage you that you're not just inspired by a new building today, but you will be inspired by the Word of God. I believe this building is going to be great. However, I also believe that God is asking more of us in the days ahead. So I want you to think, as you think on this message, when God calls, are you willing to go? not if because I believe God calls us. He calls us first to his side to obey him and to follow after him. But then he calls us to do whatever. Now, some of you might be saying, well, I'm not part of First Wesleyan Church. I attend another church. That's all right. This message is for you as well. If you're a part of First Wesleyan Church, I hope you hear this. And so would you join me as we look in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8 and going through verse 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. As we've been talking through this whole faith passage, you know that most of these verses start with, by faith. What is faith? Verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then it says this in one of the not by faith ones, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we're working towards Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked in front of us. There's a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. I wonder what some of them would think of this building that have went on. Some of them be like, wow. Some of them be like, well, it's just not the old thing. But there's a cloud of witnesses that are there that are cheering us on and that are encouraging us. Abraham was called to go out to a place. He was called to go to a place. We have been called to a place. Places are real. They're not just made up. Jesus Christ came to a place. That place was called Earth. Places are important, just like this place is important. The old First Wesleyan Church at 202 East St. Francis is important. It's a place, and it'll keep a warm place in our heart. Places are good. In Acts chapter 17, it actually says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place. He was called to go. Barclay, a commentator, says it this way, Abraham's faith was ready for an adventure. Let me repeat that. Abraham's faith was ready for an adventure. I hope that you're ready for an adventure because I can't say exactly what's going to happen, but this is an adventure. And hopefully your faith is like Abraham's, ready for an adventure, going to a place that maybe you don't know exactly where you're going. Now, there are some of us in this room that aren't necessarily excited about the adventure. We're just trying to hold on to our faith right now. You keep holding on. Because I believe there's going to be a day where you say, okay, I'm ready to go to the adventure. But sometimes you're just holding on saying, I can't really do much. But there's other times where you're like, okay, I'm grounded and I'm ready to go. And we as a church are just ready to go. It's an adventure that we're on. I don't see Abraham saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I should do this. I see him saying, let's go. I love this phrase here. It says, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place when he was received. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He obeyed and he went. If you're called, you actually have to go. Faith includes obedience and action. What would it be if God called you, even today, what if God called you and said, hey, I want you to go to the mission field? And you sold everything you own. Everything you own. That'd be something, wouldn't it? That would be an awesome faith story. Many of us are so bogged down in our everyday lives, we miss what God wants to do in the larger kingdom in which we live in. And Abraham obeyed and he went. Let's go into the unknown together as a church. It provides help for us all. Barclay goes on to say this: most of us live a cautious life on the principle of safety first. But to live the Christian life, there is necessary a certain reckless willingness to adventure. If faith can see every step of the way, it's not really faith. So what might God be calling you to? As a reminder, Moses was 80 years old when he was called to lead the people out of Egypt. If you look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, you see that Abraham was 75 years of age when he was called to leave. Now, there are some of you that make the 75 to 80 category. Some of you are much younger than that. Some of you are a little older than that. And if I may say thank you for those of you who are 70 and 80 who were on your hands and knees or you were washing windows that were helping a part of this building. That speaks volumes to me and it speaks volumes to others as well. Don't stop if God calls you, even at age 75 and at 80, or if God calls you and you're 10, or you're 13, or you're 8. See, God is, in my mind, he's no, well, you're 22, so now you're going to have the call. No. He doesn't do that. He says you're 65, he says you're 54, and all of a sudden you feel God saying something to you. Listen, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Abraham went to a place not knowing where he was going. Ever been on a wild goose chase? Those are kind of fun. Ever been on a scavenger hunt? Some of you love these things. Some of you are like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know. If I don't know where I'm going, I need to have everything mapped out. Some of you, isn't God fun? Because some of you are married in this room and you're married to the exact opposite of you. The husband's like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. And the wife's like, no, we need to have this, and this. And we have kids, by the way, too. We need to have this, or vice versa. The wife's like, yeah, let's do it. Seize the day, here we go. And the husband's like, no, hold on here just a moment. Abraham obeyed, not knowing where he was going. In our family, we call it a secret mission. Come on, kids, let's go. We're going on a secret mission. Where are we going, Dad? If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret. A lot of times, it involves ice cream, doesn't it? Those are good secret missions, much better than other ones that aren't quite like that. But we call it a secret mission. And so we go on that mission. When God called Abraham, at that time, he didn't tell him he was going. Talk about faith. Talk about blind faith. If I can say this, go, Abraham. Somehow, we're not sure of this, somehow he was convinced. This is what God wants me to do, and I need to go. Now, a little geographical sketch for you. Does anybody know how far Haran, where Abraham was, how far was Haran to Canaan? Does anybody know? How far? A long ways. Good answer. Approximately a little over 500 miles. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Some of you just yesterday might have traveled 500 miles. Maybe not. Maybe you did. Or you're going to travel 500 miles. For us to travel 500 miles, it might be a longer day for some of us than others. Some of us, 500 miles, yeah, that's a day's drive, no problem. That's half a day's. I can do a whole lot more in 500 miles. But I want you to think about Abraham going from Haran to Canaan 500 miles in that day and age. He didn't take along with him a cell phone. He might very well have walked. He might have had a donkey, might have had a camel. I'm not sure what he had exactly. And I can tell you this, if he walked, he wasn't walking in Nikes or Reeboks or Sass or Birkenstocks or Keens or whatever footwear you have on. He wasn't walking in those. Might have been barefoot. This was something that wasn't just a one-day adventure. This was going and not coming back. It was stepping out when others stayed behind. This was a guy who was saying yes to every step and not turning around. He said, I'm going forward. Why is it that sometimes we, as Christians, we kind of drag our feet when God calls us. Well, I don't know where I'm going, Lord. Seriously? Abraham, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. I love what it says. If you look at this, if you look at the passage, many times it starts off and says, by faith, this person, by faith, this person. Abraham gets two by faiths. In verse eight, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Verse 9, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. And so this by faith was very important for him. Now, we didn't have to go 500 miles to go from the old First Wesleyan to the new First Wesleyan. And you may also say, well, what kind of God is this that just won't tell Abraham where he's going? Don't you think that's important, Pastor Steve? Don't you think it's important that he tells him? Well, some of you have parents. You have taken your kids on secret missions, or you haven't told your kids all of the things. Why? Maybe because you didn't want to. Maybe they couldn't handle it. I don't know exactly. But you did that as a parent. Abraham's obedience is the more marked because God did not, at the time of the call, tell him what or where the land was. In Genesis 12, verse 1, unto a land I will show thee. What excitement, how nerve-wracking, how faith-building this was. God wants to build your faith, and sometimes he cannot do it without moving you or I, because we like the usual. We don't like to change. What door do I go out of today? I don't know which door to go out of. Old First Wesleyan had three choices. By the way, I usually stood by the back door and I shook your hand. Now I have a decision. Am I going to stand by this door and greet these people? Or am I going to stand by this door and greet these people? Or do I try to tackle all of you on the way out? It's not going to happen. Let God move you. Here's what it says. Abraham lived in the land of promise. When I begin to think about this, it says this, for he lived in the land of promise as in a foreign land. Some of you have been overseas before. I've been able to be overseas before. And when I think of foreign, I think of overseas. I think of showing up in an airport and not seeing a lot of white faces, but seeing some darker skinned people and thinking, they look different than me, and I'm 6 foot or almost 6 foot, and they're much shorter than I am, and I can't understand what they're saying. This is foreign to me. I also, some of you are, who's choosy about the food you eat? Anybody? Who doesn't care about what food you eat? Just put it on the table and it's a good day, okay? So you go on a mission trip sometime and just do it and don't ask what it is. You might never know, but some of you have eaten some interesting stuff, right, Janet Turner? Yes. Don't ask, just eat it. So when I think of a foreign land, I think of foreign food and think, oh man, what in the world are we going to eat? What is going to come out on this table? However, I went to Brazil one time when I was serving in Sioux Falls. I went to Brazil one time, and they took us to a restaurant, and it was a Brazilian steakhouse. Has anybody ever eaten a Brazilian steakhouse? There's one in Sioux Falls called the Carnival, and let me tell you, was that the bomb? I mean, they just brought out meat to you, and they cut it off the skewer, and you just ate it right off your plate, and you held your little green flag up, and as long as your green flag was up, the guy came in and just cut off more, whatever kind of meat you want, and they had all kinds of meat. What a deal. That was wonderful. Now, I will tell you, one time I sat down in Mexico, and maybe I've told you this story before, but they gave us donuts and watermelon. That was a Sunday evening meal, and I was like, yes, I like watermelon, like donuts. I was a little selfish. I saw the sugar one, and I grabbed that quickly, but I was still hungry because watermelon and donuts just didn't fill me up. So I saw another one, and it looked like it had chocolate chips in it. I thought, this will be good. So I picked up that donut. It wasn't chocolate chips. I'm not a black licorice fan. Maybe you are. But there's black licorice in the donut. Why would you do that? How am I going to get this down? Because I need to get this down. Well, there's other people on the missions team. Hey, you need to try this. Hey, take a bite of this. Hey, you need to have a little bit. And it all got down. When I think of foreign, when I think of foreign, I think these chairs are foreign to us. They're a little hard right now, but you're going to help squish them in. Where things are is just foreign to us. This screen is just, everything is foreign to us. The carpet's foreign, the coffee bar. But when we step into the land of promise, we step into a foreign land. Things are different, but they can be good. Just because they are foreign doesn't mean that they are bad. Let foreign encourage you. But the passage doesn't stop there. And this is where I really want to encourage you on here. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was looking elsewhere. This is not it. If you've come this morning thinking, we've come to a foreign land, we've come to live in the land of the promise, this is, wow. This is not it, folks. This is a great tool. And maybe you think, boy, we have arrived. We've arrived, but we have so much further to go. I want you to think on this. There'll be some boys and there'll be some girls. There'll be some men and women coming into this building and they find Jesus Christ. We're along Elkville Road here and we're going to have a sign up here eventually. And it's going to draw people in as well as you're going to draw people in. And they're possibly the people that we don't know are going to be going to a place called Mount Rushmore. And they say, hey, there's a church. Maybe I should stop in. And maybe on that Sunday when they come by here, they're going to be experiencing Jesus Christ for the very first time. However, let me say, Jesus, the rock of our salvation, means more than the rock face of the presidents. Some need out of life of pain, and there's some neighborhood, or there's some here in this neighborhood, or there's some people in Rapid City who are going to come. There are several of you who were at the land service in 2013. Some of you were not, so this means nothing to you. So let me explain. In June 30 of 2013, I had 12 different guys bring 12 rocks and lay them as an altar. We still have these rocks, and this is one of them. And hear me on this. We are not building on a rock like this. We're building on a rock of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, this serves as a representation. It's nice to have symbols, but we sure don't want to make it an idol by any means. But we are building on the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what the scripture says. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Here's what it says in Matthew. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where your thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Think of the building that God has created. It's a better place than this. Now we're going to use this building. One of you is probably going to be the first one to put the coffee stain in the carpet. We're going to have spills. One of you or one of your kids is going to be the first one to put a hole in the wall. Now, I'm not wanting to do those things by any means, but it's going to happen. Hear this from Barclay as well. God cannot give us the vision unless we permit him. Abraham was looking forward to the city that has its foundations. Let me give you a couple things that I'm looking forward to. In 3 days, Pastor Eric is going to be ordained. That's a big deal. And I'm glad it's able to happen. It's going to happen in 3 days. In about a month, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. that may be where we have some stains, not from coffee, but something. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Pray about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of these chairs were filled with kids for Vacation Bible School? Now, hear me on this. That would drive our workers crazy, because that's a lot of kids. But wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe there's a kid on your street that you need to bring here. In about a month, many of you know Don and Donna Hemstock. They'll be in the next service. They're going to have their 60th wedding anniversary. August 20th, we're going to have a dedication. 2 months from now, school will be starting. Sorry, kids. Or yay, kids. 6 months from today, do you know what happens? 6 months from today, Christmas. 1 year from now, we'll be celebrating a year in this building. What are you looking forward to? Maybe you're looking forward to a vacation. Maybe it's already come. Maybe it's on the way. But hear this. Look forward beyond this. I want you to enjoy this day. I truly want you to enjoy this day. And I want you to be a part of this building. But think beyond. Abraham was able to think beyond. He was at a place, but he was able to think beyond to a city whose foundation was the designer and was a builder by God. We're going to use this building. We're going to use it. We're going to use it for the glory of God. But don't think that we've arrived. We've not arrived, but we've stepped into something more. More has been given. More will be required. We have stepped it up. We need to carry through with what God wants us to do. We cannot stop. I want to read you the words of this song, and I hope that you will agree with it in your own heart and in the heart of our church. Here's what it says. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. O Savior, thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way. My voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all to thy tender care and knowing thou lovest me, I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he didn't even know about. He went without knowing where he was going. He went to live in the land of promise, a foreign land. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Enjoy this day, but look beyond. When God calls, go. Something sweet is there. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray with and for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Some of you know the chorus of that song. Some of you don't. I want to lead you in that chorus, and then I will pray for you. If it's your heart's desire, I encourage you to sing along, maybe even just hum along as well. If you know it, sing with me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this first service, this new building. We give it to you from one end to the next, from the back to the front. All of it's for your glory and your purposes. Lord, we know this is a tool. We know this is a tool that we have a huge responsibility for, not just me, everybody here. So Lord, I pray that we would use this tool to the betterment of your kingdom. I pray for someone here today that's in this sanctuary that has never accepted you as Savior and Lord. I pray that right now they would say to you, oh God, would you come into my heart? By faith, I receive you into my life. And may they walk anew with you. I pray for somebody else here. This is kind of tough for them to be in a new building. But yet they're stepping out in faith saying, I'm going. I'm going to be a part of this. Help them by faith to agree and understand you. And then, Lord, I think of somebody else here this morning who it has nothing to do with the building, has nothing to do with this church building, but you've been laying on their heart something. I pray, Lord Jesus, by the power of your word that has been spoken this morning, that they would say, by faith, though I am not sure where I'm going, I will go. And may they understand from Abraham's lesson here for us that we can trust in you because you are the faithful God. Oh God, we love you today. We pray that you would go before us today. Give us a great day of rest. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to go wherever we go this week with your blessing. May you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and may you guard each of our hearts. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody agreed and said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day.